FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
That's a new legal lead-in to our show.
I've never heard that before. Was different, yeah.
I'm like, what? What was that?
Change is good.
I think they named the studio. I don't think they should name the studio.
No. I thought a sponsor should name the studio.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Maybe it was. I didn't hear who it was. I just heard
studios. Both looked at each other like, that was
what
different.
What was that?
Almost missed the intro.
We did. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. I'm here. Scott is there. So we are both here. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @HappyHour_SS, @ScottBrower_13, @Steen on Sports. And what else do I have? And @1700TheChamp. Facebook's @1700TheChamp as well. So this week, Saints and Cardinals, Thursday night prime. Another game they thought was going to be good that is not the best game in the world, but we'll see. On Saturday, we have UNI, Missouri State. That's a 3 o'clock pregame. Chiefs 49ers, that's a big game in San Francisco. How San Francisco plays.
As you say, it depends on which.
It's a Super Bowl
49ers
rematch.
Show up. Yeah.
That's a 2 o'clock pregame, so that's a 3 o'clock or 3:15 game. Steelers and your Dolphins play
Sunday,
7 o'clock pregame. And then Monday night is the Bears and the Patriots. So we have all that going on. I forgot to print that out today, so I had to write it down.
There you go. Good job.
Okay, so I did two things at once. Holy cow. What a day
look
that
at
is.
You go.
Woo! Could not do this show without sponsors and without Scott. Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, Iowa Cubs, Come and Go, BetMGM, whoever. Maybe I caught that wrong.
Hold I don't up. Think there was.
We're going to have to listen to it again.
I bet you they played again.
At the 3 o'clock hour.
I bet you they played again.
Or at 3 o'clock hour. The 6 o'clock hour, right? 4 or 5. No, the 5 o'clock. There we are. What time zone? Man, you think, is this Monday?
I'm going to have to check what's in your Chick-fil-A
it's
cup
in
there.
Monday all over again. Wow. Crazy day yesterday. Too many things going on to talk. I mean, I could have stayed on the air for another 2 hours yesterday just blowing up football games, and
it was and a very interesting weekend, let's just say.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know if interesting is the right word.
There we go.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Okay.
It sounded like it was in the bottom of a
it's hand signals, and then gotcha. Then I'm talking to you. You're giving me hand signals and I'm saying it over the air. Right. That's probably not the best.
I couldn't hear it. Sounded like it was the bottom of a coffee can. But yes, it was a very interesting weekend of football. My BetMGM was very nice to me this weekend. I went with Tennessee. That worked out well.
Good.
I went with the Jets.
That worked out really well.
Worked out well.
How did that go in your family?
Not good at all. Jets beating the Packers, not good at all. But no, it was
okay.
Iowa State disappointing.
Yeah, take a step back though.
Yes, sir.
The Jets beating the Jets didn't beat the Packers. Mm-hmm. The Jets demolished the Packers.
There was
Aaron Rodgers did. I mean, Quentin Williams and him are close mm-hmm. now.
Yes. it was great to see Breece Hall.
It was great. I agree. We had cleaning done yesterday,
yes.
By the way, nationwide. Thank you once again.
Little
Shelton love.
There you go.
For Cars. And you know, I kept watching it, and I'd go around, and I'd do stuff for like 20 minutes, and I'd come back, and I'm like, oh man! And then I'd go around and come, and I'm like, ugh. And I'm like,
yeah.
And Zach Wilson's has completed like 6 out of 10 passes, and they're up 3 touchdowns. What?
I know we're saying names like what were they saying? Zappy days are here to stay, and things like that because they don't know if they want Mac Jones back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy.
There's a lot of stuff that we did not expect going on, but it just makes for very, I mean, I saw one of the stats. I don't know exactly what it was, but how close, like 75% of the games are within, you know, it's been within 8 points.
Right. And where is that at? 60 some percent, if you bet the under on football games, you were winning 60% of your bets. That's quite a lot. They're usually better than that. These guys that set these things are, I mean, their ultimate goal is to be like 51-49 or 50.5 and 50.5.
We'll get into that because, I mean, the Iowa-Ohio State game is up to 29 points as Ohio State is a favorite. 29. I saw it 27.5. It's to 29. Yeah. Holy Lord.
And what's the over-under?
49.
29.
No, yeah, okay, 29.
29 and 49.
They're expecting Iowa to score 20. I mean, anyway, but that's, you know, it's the math and it's to lead you in. That's how the money is made with sports book and stuff. But still, 29 points. That's a lot of points.
If that was in Iowa City, I think I would take that bet. I'm not so sure I'd take that bet. It being
I'm the same way you are though, because I'm looking at it going, it's in Columbus,
and that's one of those things. Not until the last time last year when we went to Ohio for a wedding, had I ever been to the football stadium. Man, it's a massive football stadium, Scott. I mean, it's ginormous. It's incredible. The campus is incredible. Doesn't make me any more of an Ohio. I mean, it's the only time I root for Iowa.
Yeah.
Because I don't like Ohio State. But, and that kills my other side of the family. But hey, they're kind of arrogant.
I'm going to watch it with the hoping to see something change, something spark. But I also know that I'm going into it knowingly going to watch a car wreck. You know, it's going to be interesting.
So, The most interesting thing about since we started talking about Iowa, you led this here, so I'm gonna Kirk Ferentz did his interviews and stuff, and he took a lot upon himself in Kirk Ferentz way of going, Brian did say that, but what Brian meant was, you know, Alex Padilla. You know, he still has.
We believe in him.
We have a place here, and we believe.
We
in
believe
him.
In him.
Are you going to put him in? Well, you know, we don't
Petrus
really.
Petrus practices better. Yeah. They both practice well, but Petrus practices better. Okay,
that's awesome. Okay, and how's he doing the game? I mean, it's just funny exactly. That, but it's funny for if that would have been the linebacker coach and the linebacker coach would have said something, Kirk Ferentz wouldn't have came out and said something at it. I mean, he'd just let it go. And,
right.
You know, but
he wouldn't have had to think that he had to fix it.
He thought that he had to fix. And I think the reaction that he got from that one question, his one answer, and then the follow-up question, he went, okay, Brian's on his own. Because I'm not getting in trouble for this. So I'm going to take a step out here and we'll try to figure it out. I don't know. You would like to think that the bye week came at a bad time. You almost think you'd want to be right back out there. And now you had a whole week, and you had a whole extra week to get ready for Ohio State. That film's not fun to watch. None of that stuff's fun to watch.
It's not.
Okay, who do we have? And this is and maybe the defense will come out and they'll do amazing things. I'm just thinking. I love Riley Moss, and Riley Moss is fast. He's a great kid. I mean, he is one of my favorite kids from a non-Dowling school that I've ever talked to, hung out with at any point in time. There's 8. Riley Mosses on Ohio State's offense. And maybe a couple of linemen can run that fast. I mean, that's incredible. Over the weekend, football watching, pretty amazing. I mean, there were some amazing football games.
Right. Like I said, that,
Tennessee,
that,
Alabama,
that was,
amazing
that was a
football
fun game to
game.
Watch.
I mean, you and Nick Saban coming out, you know, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, if you'd have won that game, it had been a huge deal. Yeah, let's see what we did. We just, once again, we took care of what we needed to take care of.
Right.
But when you don't take care, I'm not a Nick Saban fan. I can't do it.
The thing I loved is when the kids are tearing down the goalpost at Tennessee, the president of the university is in his box smoking a cigar. Somebody says, "You okay with them doing this?" He said, "I'd celebrate this way every week."
He gets it.
Yeah.
See, that's when you know that your guy gets it. And I like that as well. When you go, let's talk a little bit, because I didn't excuse me. Yep. I have a cough, but while you're over there, it doesn't do any good.
Yeah. Okay.
I too agree with you that the Iowa State game was discouraging. And not for the reasons, if we would have had that offensive game plan and rotated offensive linemen like they did this past weekend, the two weekends before, I think we have a totally different season.
Right.
So once again, me saying that, you know, this isn't always on the kids. No. This is on the coaching staff, and them saying, you know, we just need to work through this. Well, what they did against Texas was, okay, these last two games, our coaching staffs didn't do a good job of getting these kids prepared, or we didn't have a good game plan. Much better game plan. Of all the things that happened in that game, Xavier Hutchinson not catching that ball. Now, I would say, this is what I would say, Xavier Hutchinson not catching that ball is the anomaly.
Yes,
there's a lot of Iowa State fans out there that think that he drops way too many balls that he should be catching in certain times. That's how they phrase it. Big catches he sometimes don't catch.
Doesn't, okay.
And they said the other, Noel, Jalen Noel,
right.
That's the dude that doesn't drop a ball.
Well, and that's, you're starting to hear the buzz around his name, yep. You know, on Twitter and things like that as well. But it's, then it needs to be a tandem. You need to see it,
absolutely.
See it as a threat that that the coverage goes to Xavier and opens up. You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's kind of like a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle. You know, it should make, not because one's better than the other, but they should work in a tandem so that coverage goes to one, opens to the other one. If they sleep on the one, the other one opens up. I mean,
I've been waiting to ask you this too.
Yes.
And this one's been bothering me for a while. This is my thought process on Iowa State's defense. And it's been the same way. And I've just, you know, I haven't shouted it from the rooftops. I'm not that I'm shouting it from the rooftops today, but it seems like when we're playing poorly, the offenses, and I say we, somebody asked me today. They asked me last night, is it okay for you to root for a team and have a radio show? That's like, I'm like, yeah, as long as you're honest with the people that, right. Yes, I am an Iowa State fan. I say we sometimes,
right.
But I'm talking about the Hawkeyes, and I say we sometimes too. Right. I don't dislike anybody.
You're a sports representative.
They all listen to shows to hear people talk, you know, whatever my slant may be. The crux of all of this has always been that when Iowa State's offense, let's say they have a drive and Iowa State's offense doesn't score, and our defense goes out and we need to get the ball back, we get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward into the third quarter and we're down one and our offense makes a great drive and goes in and we score and our defense has been holding them. So now we got that lead back.
Right.
That next possession, our defense doesn't play very well.
Yeah.
Do you see that same thing too?
Yeah. Oh, it's 58-yard gain.
I don't know.
The big play seems to happen after we get over the hump, per
yes.
se. Yes.
I thought that was really interesting. I thought the other interesting.
Okay, I mean,
go ahead.
You and I, we've talked about this. You said it's maybe the coaches aren't preparing them correctly. That's execution by the players. You know, it's the finger pointing can go in a lot of different ways. We don't like to pile on a 19, 20-year-old kid who's got the weight of the world on him, with eyes upon him.
Do not want to do that.
The level of that they put on themselves is far greater than two old guys on a radio station saying, "Hey, you should have caught that ball." Right. I mean, trust me, it's to see him, the footage of him afterwards, he wasn't happy with himself.
No. It's just something that you didn't see. That's right. Just something that you know that it's one of those seasons.
So, okay, you say it's one of those seasons, but to look at it with an analytical mindset, is it the immaturity of these positions? Because, I mean, for the big dogs that went away and went into the NFL and stuff, so it's just the immaturity of they haven't been in this situation, at this level of the situation. Did the talent drop off? Why?
So
is it too many variables from the coaches can't coach? I mean, they're still feeling out the new guys. They should be with these guys. They should know.
See, and here's – I'm going to answer it. I'll answer it really quick on the player side. I think the players are learning. And, yes, a lot of them were there, but they were behind people. And they were behind people that were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes time. Hunter Dreckers can only learn so much from Brock Purdy for being there.
You have to physically do it to get the experience to be able to get better.
The other thing is, no matter what happens, Brock Purdy and Hunter Dreckers, even if he's watching Brock Purdy run the offense, he's running the offense right-handed in a certain way.
Right.
And Hunter Dreckers has to come out and run it left-handed in a certain way. And I've always said, and
they're two different styles of quarterbacks,
that. And when we come back, I want to talk about the coaching with this. The other thing I've said all along, and I saw today that Charlie Kolar came off the injured reserve list today, so he's available to start playing again. That's going to help the Ravens. At least they have one more person that Lamar Jackson can't throw to. So that's just kidding.
I guess we'll go there today too, won't we?
Oh, God, yes. And if you think that I'm going to blame Lamar Jackson, I am not. That is not who I'm going to blame. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We've got plenty more to talk about. These are all the things that I wanted to talk about yesterday but didn't have somebody to talk to them with. So come back in right after break.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It is a Happy Hour Sports Tuesday with Steen and Scott. Steen here.
Scott here.
Scott's here, too. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Steen on Sports, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website's at 1700thechamp.com. Where are we at? This is Tuesday. Thursday is Saints-Cardinals football game. I don't know what I'm getting tired, though. I listened to – well, I'll get to it. I always do that. I see that, and I'm like, so remind me of that. Arizona. I'll do that one a little bit later. I'm going to write that one down. This segment will be brought to you by – Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They'll take care of foot, ankle, hand, upper extremity, hip, knee, shoulder, sport med, urgent injury. They have urgent injury clinics that you can go online to dms.dmos.com. You can see what waiting times are. They have one in Ankeny and one in West Des Moines. Just to give you a heads up, the one in Ankeny opens up a little bit earlier in the morning and closes earlier, and the one in West Des Moines opens up a little bit later in the morning and is open later in the evening. It's one of those things that if you are at a practice or something and one of your sons or daughters gets hurt, check out DMOS.com, see what wait times are. If you go there, you're going to get someone that is used to dealing with the part of the body that has been hurt. Instead of going to the emergency room and having a PA take a look and try to figure that out.
Yeah, ice it.
Bone sticking out, bleeding, concussions, that's ER trips. Other things, shoulders, elbows, ankles, knees, hip, back. Those you can have taken care of at Des Moines Orthopedic. Thank Des Moines Orthopedic for being a part of the show.
Sure.
Okay, so getting back to
coaching from Ohio State
from last year to this year. For the players, I mean, last year. See, I think that's the biggest thing that is going on right now was that group of fifth year seniors that had a year, even a better year, and then what we considered to be a down year, but for Iowa State in general, a good year last year. Mm-hmm. And then you have these expectations and you have Matt Campbell and you have all these things in place. And well, at least Hunter Deckers has been around. Jarrell Block has been around. The offensive line's been around and all those things. And I think all those add up together and you go, okay, we have a team here that, okay, we understand that we're going to struggle every once in a while.
Right. We got a good core.
We have a good core. And it's going to be a good core that's going to be here. There's nobody that's on that team that's jumping to the NFL. Right. None of those things. The thing that we all, and just fandom in general, is we didn't take a look around the Big 12. Kansas has a lot of fourth and fifth year seniors. K-State, Oklahoma State, all these guys have the same thing. So when we were with our seniors that have been there for a long time, we're playing their younger groups, that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the issues that we have with the coaching staff is that the willingness to take governor in a car, to take the governor off. Open things up on offense. And they after not scoring a touchdown and not getting across the 50-yard line on a lot of times in the past two games, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, listen, this is Texas. They just blew up Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do this, you know, we can't expect Coach Heacock, who does a great job, what he did to that Texas offense. And when you see all these teams like TCU scored 60 points and this Baylor and blah, blah, they don't do that against us no matter what. I mean, right. The way that the defense tackled and all those things. The only time the defense didn't play well this past weekend was after we scored a touchdown or after we scored. They just didn't play with the same intensity. But what did they do this week? They also, Zach Ross got playing time on the line, former Dowling kid, another kid, local kid. I don't remember if it's Dallas Center Grimes or it was one of those wrestling schools and high schools. He got some extra playing time. So they were really rotating them. They rotated running backs. Jarrell Block had two carries. I think he's still dinged up. And I think it was just another learning situation. Once again, in a couple of big-time plays, they looked for their tight ends, and they caught the ball. And then we kind of went away from that. But he also didn't just focus – Hunter Deckers didn't just focus on everybody, and they weren't running three-yard outs. So I was excited about that.
It's funny you'd say that, because the way you said that, I just kind of went, huh, you're right, because they would try something, then it would start to work, and then they'd go, okay, cool, that does work. Let's go back to what we were doing, see if we can get that to work and put it all together. It's like – No, stay with what's working.
Yeah, just keep trying to see what you can get. Use this as a stepping stone. You were a dog at home, even though they don't look at that, but don't tell me they don't look at that. And it was a game that we were competing in. You need to keep showing them stuff they haven't seen.
Right.
And so then when I go to the end of the game, and this is my only I never once went on social media. I never once said anything. I didn't even say anything at the time that it happened. All I said at the very end to my wife was, the thing I don't like about that is that when the defensive back that got kicked out like 5 seconds into the Baylor game,
right,
on a questionable targeting call at the beginning of a game, and that call at the end of a game where it actually looked like it did damage to the individual that he hit. Now, was that a helmet-to-helmet hit? Sure looked like a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Did you see the
footage?
I mean, and not to be the conspiracy theorist or the refs took another one away from us, but, I mean, you look at the footage of the on Twitter or whatever, and there's a picture of the kid's helmet and a big old red spot on a white helmet.
And the only thing...
You don't get that off the jersey.
The only thing that I can think of, and see, that's the problem, is it's not the actual hit only, it's the intent. And the only reason he didn't completely blow up his head and probably injure him even worse is the guy taking his head from behind and slamming it down into the, you know, he was coming behind him, tackling him and doing that. He would not have fumbled the ball without that hit coming in and hitting him in the face mask. Because you could see as soon as it hit his face mask, he just kind of went, ugh.
Right.
And I don't know how I just don't know how you don't call that. But once again, the one thing that Hunter has to remember, and we were watching the game and it was kind of funny that the one thing he did wrong the whole entire day, and I think it was only one thing. You have the ball inside the 15-yard line. The only thing that you cannot have happen is to take points off the board. And he threw a really bad pick. That's the only mistake that I can think of that, because those 3 points were huge. And I think that's the only mistake they made. But my issue with that is when you're doing all this and you're talking and you're going through, and if you think it's a little messy, call a timeout and reiterate that. Whatever you do, we have to have points.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it. Do anything. Just don't turn the ball over. And that's the one thing he did.
Right.
If you look to see the reason we lost the game, that was a critical point in time. Now, could we have made it up? Yes. How we played as a whole against a team that has more talent than we have, they're not better coached. They're not better on the football field. They just physically had bigger, more talented people.
Right. And it goes back to the same thing we've always said. Mistake-free football is a must.
And their running back is what Breece Hall was last year. A guy that's a plus-4 year player. He's going to be Breece Hall in the NFL next year. He's fun to watch.
He is on my fantasy now, and he is delightful.
Breece Hall's amazing, and Bijan Robinson is going to be the same type of player.
It is so interesting, and then to watch Montgomery in poor Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look and remember his running style, and then you go, oh, yeah. And then you watch Breece Hall and go, oh, yeah. I mean, it's
same.
But not the
fastest, but you think I'm going to catch him, and you don't. And you're also going, well, they're not very big, and oh, crap.
But Breece Hall's
ran
bigger.
Me over.
I mean, I liken watching Montgomery to Barry Sanders. He's just that Emmitt Smith, just 100 mile an hour. You know,
Breece Hall's different.
He's
and
different.
I don't know who he's different like, but he's different.
McCaffrey?
Because it looks like he's going to get wrapped up, but he never gets wrapped up.
Right.
But it's not a David Montgomery because he didn't get there quick enough. I mean, David Montgomery's overwhelmed. And the yards that they should double David Montgomery's yards because his offensive line is so bad. They should double that up. But it was fun. It was fun to watch.
I've heard more interviews with the New York Jets head coach. Didn't realize. Right. Well, I didn't realize that best man in his wedding was LaFleur.
Yeah.
You know, that they're good buddies, all these different things.
All came from San Francisco.
Right. But you listen to him in his interviews. It's like somebody said, all right, I'm going to take the mold and I'm going to take and make a football coach. Oh, there he is. I mean, he is the way he talks, the way he sounds, the way he looks, his motions, his mannerisms.
And Nick Sirianni. At the Sunday night game.
Oh, for the Eagles?
He's having fun. That's F-M-U and game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Ooh, my Liberty skills. This is fun.
It's good.
Said something about your bread? I'm not sure what he said.
I like that. So just clearing with Iowa State. Listen, when you have that extra year that we had last year, And I think that it didn't end the way that we wanted it to end, but it's still, you have to remember, this team had some people that had some starting time, but it's not Brock Purdy. I mean, and it's not Breece Hall. And those are big things
but
to replace.
We didn't know Breece Hall at one point in time.
No.
We got to know him. I still think there's some breakout players in there.
Oh, I do too. I think it just keeps building. And listen, if all other things, the fact that where we're at, you know, because people are, what have you done for me lately? They're not going to look at Coach Matt Campbell. Not that I'm still that guy that says, Matt Campbell's leaving for two things and two things only.
Notre Dame.
Ohio State or Notre Dame.
Right.
That's the only two. You know, and every once in a while I thought he might leave for Cincinnati, but not if they're going to be in the Big 12 because he can't do that.
Right.
He wouldn't do that. It's not in him to do something like that.
I still don't know if we can
get three wins to get to a bowl game. That Texas game really would have helped.
That to look back at the beginning of the season, the win totals, Iowa State win totals over under
6.5 was it?
No,
was
5.5.
5.5. So
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Iowa 7.5.
Yeah. Iowa has no shot at getting 7.5. Not with who they have left to play.
I still think Iowa and Iowa State just have one of those games that everybody's like, and then they play mistake free, and they do get that one win.
Yeah,
but it's they should have had one with Kansas State or Kansas to keep this little dream of 6-6 alive.
I just think it's really funny how, and they're starting to do this now. They're starting to go, yeah, well, look at these scores in the Big 12. And somebody said, yeah, until you play Iowa State.
Right.
So Iowa State plays defense in
massively.
There and the tackling, because Texas had, I mean, just players all over the place. And they caught the ball, and we were on them. Robinson is a great running back, and we bungled him up a lot. He still got yards. I understand that.
85% of the game was great, dude.
Yeah,
I was pumped about it.
I wasn't as upset. At the end of that, I was upset at the end of the other two games because we just didn't try anything different.
I know.
It just kept doing the same thing over again, and we're not that school anymore. When you're playing K-State and you're playing Kansas and you have the chance to win, throw out that little board you have, and when we can't do stuff, let's freelance a little bit and see if that – because they know what we're doing. So let's freelance a little bit. Texas thought, we know what they're going to do, and we didn't do anything that we did in those prior two games.
Right.
So, but after the one game, if you didn't like the film, and then you did the same thing, and then now you have two films.
Right.
If you would have done the third film again, I don't know if I could have watched another football game. Not because of dislike for – it's just – it's painful.
Right.
That's the fandom of
this,
right?
And that's going to lead us into watching that Monday Night Football game last night.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, to the same things you just said, to put that onto watching Russell Wilson. Okay? You know, it's you're not a pocket passer. Do the things it did. And he did.
See,
10 for 10 in the first quarter.
Yep.
And then he got outside the pen.
And then I think he hurt. I think he got his hammy, whatever, because he didn't move again. Or Nathaniel Hackett, in all his wisdom, went, we need to stop scrambling and throwing. We're going to throw from the pocket and we're not going to block for you. Okay, go.
Well, that's just it.
How is he still the coach?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you're Walmart. Go find somebody from Walmart and put him down there.
But it was.
The owners of the Denver Broncos are from Walmart. I'm sorry. I wasn't saying that Nathaniel Hackett was from Walmart. He's not good enough to work at Walmart.
Wow.
It's bad.
Well,
he
tied it together didn't you?
Have you seen Aaron Rodgers go, you know what I miss the most and this year?
It's Nathaniel Hackett.
As bad as we're playing, it could only get better if Nathaniel Hackett was here so I had somebody to
talk about Mr. Rodgers
later, too. I think we do need to talk about him. We're going to give Iowa some talking to. We'll do that in the next segment with their game with Ohio State. Just break it down just a little bit. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be back. Hawkeye Talk coming up.
This season, sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Last segment of this first hour. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. My partner Scott sitting across from me. I can see him.
I did. That was very untimely. I put a spree in my mouth right when the music started. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no. What if I do?
Oh.
You can listen. If you're listening, you're already listening. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. At 1700 The Champ for Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _ 13, and at Happy Hour _SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well, and the website 1700thechamp.com. I am off tomorrow, have an engagement tomorrow. So I will get both of these, yesterday's show and today's show, up there tonight so you can get those. I upload them into Audio Boom, but they go out everywhere because I was listening to one. I played one through Spotify. I played a buddy of mine at work, our Joe Madden interview, which people loved. I've got a lot of great feedback.
You know what I've gotten more than once? Joe Madden? You mean the guy with the game? The video game? No, that would be John Madden. And he's gone.
Yes. Honey, Scott and I talked to John Madden.
You wouldn't believe the size of the antenna we have that we could talk to John Madden.
It was awesome.
He was like, boom, connecting. But it was, wow.
Were playing a video game while we were doing it.
So anyway, yes, Joe.
It wasn't as funny when Joe, but now Madden, in my mind it was.
Joe Madden, the former, Rays, Cubs.
Cubs World Series. Angles. I mean, he never has to worry about buying a beer in Chicago.
Well, I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be too rough to him either. No. He took the worst record to the champs.
I totally agree with that. Our next segment, this segment is going to be our next segment, yes. We're almost through this segment here. This one is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Founded in the Midwest in 2011, provide quality health-centric building maintenance. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for their employees and customers. They are certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environments safer and more healthy for their customers. Heritage Building Maintenance. There you go. Okay,
nice.
So, I got a lot of great feedback. He's just an interesting guy. And so I sent a copy to his assistant or whoever.
Publicist.
Handler.
And
she listened. She sent it back, or she sent me a note back saying, yeah, you guys got a lot out of him. He likes to talk about things, but you guys had him talking about things that he hadn't. And I think that was the gist was you asked him things that other people hadn't already asked him.
Good.
And so he had something. And she said that he's not joking. If he tells you that any time you want to call him back, he doesn't say that to everyone.
He doesn't know that I drink a lot. So, hey, man, what's going on?
Remember, did you mean
my sense room? I want to know why you did that with Lester.
does that mean when we're on the radio or any time?
There you go. No, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So, getting back to Iowa. So, this is my thought process, and I wanted to see what you thought. If I'm beating the Ohio State Buckeyes, I have to do one of two things. I either have to switch up my quarterbacks every once in a while, or you are going to have to put Petras in things that he's not used to doing. And that means not just taking five-step drops, and then if you have to run, you kind of run to try not to get sacked. I'm moving him right away. And I'm moving him either right or left, and I'm trying to get openings coming across the middle of the field because they are just going to come after him. They're going to pin their ears back, and they're going to come after him all day. They're not worried about one person as a running back. And I love all these guys. And people said, well, what's the one thing that Iowa's missing? And I'm like, they don't have that dude that can win a one-on-one tight. Arlen Bruce can't. He's too small. He's a great guy. And Deontay Johnson, same thing. And I'm going back old school because I don't watch everything Iowa Hawkeye. But, tight ends, and that's why I just think they need to move their tight ends out and throw to them. They're chipping and going out. I don't know. They just everything that Ohio State's seen on film, I think they can't do. They have to do something else. If they want to win, if they want to keep the game close, then continue to do what you're doing. Let your defense do that.
You think they're going to keep the game close?
No, because I think Ohio State's going to turn them over. And so I don't think they're going to keep it close.
Okay.
And I think they're going to have I think the defense is going to be on the field too long, like they were against Iowa State, and that they're going to allow couple of drives that just kill you and you can't come back from.
We were talking about over the break, because what was the stat I was looking at? So you're looking – points per game for Iowa, 14.7. And points per game for Ohio State.
And that's Rutgers, pretty much.
48.8.
Yeah.
Okay, points allowed for Iowa, 9.8.
Yeah.
Points allowed for Ohio State, 15.7. So, obviously, if we can get our defense to do what our defense does, there should be a game there.
Right.
But you just alluded to the fact if it is completely, or it's 80-20 defense to offense,
yeah,
they're going to get tired and they're going to get lit up halfway through the third quarter.
Michigan's offense is two-thirds the offense of Ohio State, and Iowa was down 20-0.
Right.
And they played that game. That was at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the Ohio State game.
Is at Columbus.
At Columbus. Or was the Michigan game at home?
Yeah, the Michigan was at home.
Yeah, Michigan game was at home. So you get, no, I can't remember. See, I apologize, folks. Even though I'm not anti-Iowa, I just don't remember.
No, it was at Kinnick.
It was at Kinnick.
Yeah.
You were down 20-0, and you got some yards when you were, it was 20-0. They just can't, they can't get down to there. It's different. Ohio State's offense is different. And Michigan's defense is different too. Michigan has guys that can guard guys up. Iowa gets theirs from pressure up front, and then they're just really good at scheming. I just don't think you leave Ohio State people open in the middle of the field, and they're going to run for touchdowns, and they're not going to run for first downs. They're going to run for touchdowns. It's a daunting task. If it was at home, you know, I think it might be a better game, but they had a week off. But the really
I don't think that's a good thing.
The really crazy thing is they had a week off, and all they did that whole week off was trying to explain the first part of the season. The first part of the season's over.
Right.
Let it go.
I agree.
I'm, you know, and of all the things, so you let Brian Ferentz go out, then Kirk Ferentz had to go out and try to cover for it. And then after everything that was said and done and all throughout that whole week, you didn't, the first time the entire year, you didn't have quarterbacks available to talk to the press. That's not a good thing. I mean, that's their job. I felt sorry for David. I mean, David's like, you know, that's just, you know, he can't say what he wants to say, that, you know, that's Bush League, that
right.
you don't do that. I just don't at this present point in time, when I'm looking at the two schools, neither one of us have game changers at offensive positions. Xavier Hutchinson is a good football player. Jalen Noel has a chance because he's still younger to be that kind of game changer. When Iowa says we have game, they have two tight ends that are really, really good. They're not even Charlie Kolard tight ends. They're not TJ Hockenson. They're not Noah Fant. They're just really good at what they do.
Who's the kid who transferred to Purdue?
Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones was their deep threat, and they don't have one. They think Deontay Johnson is their deep threat, but you can push him off the line. He's 6 foot with somebody holding.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big name program to not be.
I know. I, it just
having a little more ammunition in the.
It's getting to a point in time.
Lined up.
And I have a little statement in here from I can't even remember what conference it was, saying, well, the way that we're looking at it, and it wasn't a big, it was like the A-10 or something like that. The way we're looking at NIL, we need Congress to come in and fix this. And I'm like, if you all think that that's what you need, then you all need to get out of the football business.
Right.
Because the reason we're in the mess we're in now is because the NCAA people used the Congress to let them do whatever they wanted to do to make the most amount of money that they could make for themselves.
Right.
And now that they have to split it out, people are, you know, that's not working. But I guess what I'm saying is it's even in the NFL. If you are a football program in the NCAA and your thought processes are 15 years ago, and that's a little Penn State, and it's a little Iowa, it's even a little Michigan. Jim Harbaugh's trying to change.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what your thing is, kids aren't coming there because it ain't sexy.
Right. The problem is the kids coming there aren't the ones bringing the money. It's the old money still wants to make the rules.
Right. And that's the tough part. And it's the same in the NFL. If you have a coach that doesn't know what they're doing, you're in trouble. And it's...
Say it, Gary. An old defensive guy?
Oh my gosh. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We'll be back after this top of the hour break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.